The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive, getting fired up. We begin with Rick Butler.
All right, Russell, I'm back. The top four at four. Number one, the Tennessee Volunteers head coach Rick the Deacon Barnes has been awarded the National Coach of the Year by the United States Basketball Association.
His first time
winning the award.
Yes, he has.
It is also of note that Barnes is still a finalist for the Werner Ladder Naismith Men's Basketball Coach of the Year, which will be announced on April 7th, the night before the national championship game. When asked about the award, Rick Barnes had this to say. I think when coaches get an award, it goes directly back to their players and their staff because we all know that it's a team.
Class act, Rick Barnes. I always said that. Class act. Yes, I'm eating on the air. This is disgusting. Go ahead.
Numero dos. Number two. Federal prosecutors in New York and California have charged celebrity attorney Michael Avenatti with extortion and bank and wire fraud.
Don't get political on me, Rick. How's this sports related?
Avenatti attempted to extort more than $20 million in payments from Nike.
Oh!
By threatening to share his knowledge publicly to inflict severe financial and reputational harm on the company if his demands were not met.
Damn.
Now,
some
you want to
gangster stuff.
You want
right
to know
there.
How it affects sports? It was reported today that Avenatti threatened to hold a news conference on the eve of Nike's quarterly earnings call and the start of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, at which he would announce allegations of misconduct by Nike employees.
What was he talking about? What misconduct?
I guess I got to think that he just has some kind of dirt on some of the shady things that Nike has been doing. He was going to threaten multiple
like
times.
Like what, paying coaches
that.
And players and stuff? I kind of want to hear what he has to say. I mean, I know the guy.
Sweatshops overseas.
I know the guy is a lightning rod and all that, and he's gotten. He represented
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels guy is going to jail for a sports thing.
Yeah,
I kind of want to hear what he has to say. This is probably true.
Well, he announced like an hour before the report came out that he was going to hold his own press conference.
Well, go ahead and hold it, man. I mean, what do you got to lose at this point?
All right, number three. The Basketballs are back in Knoxville after their round of 32 win over Iowa last night. The team will have a rest day on the court, as they usually do following a game, but will surely be in the film room as they prepare for Purdue in the Sweet 16 as they tip off this Thursday at 7:30 p.m.
All right, very good. Get some rest. Some rest, Vols. Get those legs up. Rub down in. Get some protein in you.
Well, apparently Lamonte Turner's in class today.
He ain't in class,
that's
man.
Absurd.
He ain't in class. Yeah. I guarantee you that.
We don't believe it here on the drive.
All
right, number four. Three-time Super Bowl champion and five-time Pro Bowler Rob Gronkowski retired from the National Football League yesterday.
Wow.
Or did he?
Oh.
According to Gronk's agent Drew Rosenhaus today on ESPN, in quotes, Rob is 29 years old. He's still a very young man. It would not shock me if he has a change of heart, if he feels great and decides that he wants to return to pro football.
So this could might be one of those Brett Favre things where
he
just doesn't want to go to training camp is what it is.
Yeah. Now, I have a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
We're currently 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. Rob Gronkowski has appeared at WrestleMania before. So, he has stated numerous times how he loves pro wrestling. He has a relationship with Vince McMahon. Who knows what former Super Bowl winning tight end might show up on the grandest stage of them all in a couple weeks.
Who knows and who cares? Rick
come
Butler.
Come on, don't do that to
quality
me.
Quality control analyst, thank you. The top four at four. Yeah, Gronk hanging it up. Best tight end of all time?
No.
Who's better?
Jason Witten.
Jason Witten is better than Gronk.
Dave Casper. Mark Bavaro.
Tony Gonzalez.
Kellen Winslow Sr.
Listen, Tony Gonzalez, like we could have that conversation. Antonio Gates, Kellen Winslow, like maybe, but
don't do it.
Gronk, like, listen, man, we all hate the Patriots. I get it. Like, come on, dude. Like, dude is a – it's like Zion Williamson. It's a cheat code. It's not even fair to have that guy out there. He's been playing the past 2 years with one arm. He's got that huge
– He's used that brace to assault other players. He did it last year, the year before. I can't remember which, but I'm not a big Gronk fan. Nah.
I mean, he's a total meathead and an idiot, but –
he's cool.
No, I don't think he's cool. I think he's an idiot. I think if you asked him to perform a basic math equation, he would be, left sitting in a dark room pondering it all night long.
18 divided by 2?
You could fleece him and rob him in the time it took him to figure. He's a freak show, dude. I mean, it is what it is. You think he's the GOAT tight end, Brandon?
I mean, he's up there.
Let me put it this way. For your Indianapolis Colts, trying to make – you can have any tight end in the history of football in their prime. Is there even a close second?
I'm taking Dallas Clark.
Stop. Jason Witten or Kellen Winslow Sr.
No, you're not. All right, let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to jump in here on the drive, hour number two, getting ready for the Sweet 16. Tennessee taking on Purdue Thursday night in Louisville. Vols a one-point favorite. 1 point. Here's a question for you to ponder as we get set to talk to Phil. Are we better off playing a close game, like all the way through, like Kentucky in the SEC tournament? Or it seems like when we jump out to a big lead, we inevitably take our foot off the gas and starts to – like that. I think the game yesterday wouldn't have been so frustrating for fans if it had been close all the way through and we had just ultimately prevailed at the end. Having the big lead and blowing it, one of the most helpless feelings of being a sports fan.
No, I think you're right. I mean, which I don't think we'll have to worry about it the rest of the way. I think they're all going to be close games from here on out. I agree. I think if that game had been close, people wouldn't have been as tore up about overtime and just barely squeezing one out.
Let's go to the phones. Phil is next on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
Morning, sir, W.
Philip.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
All right. Is Rick going to have a Stormy Daniel update?
Stormy Daniel update. Rick, what's she into now? Is she stripping for money?
She put out a pretty incendiary tweet.
Oh, she put out a statement. She's injected into this? That's great. You thought Stormy Daniels, you thought we were done with her a couple of months ago. No, nope, she's back.
Well, it's entertainment, isn't it?
Everything is entertainment.
Did Bear tell you the story of Taco Fall? Did I text him last week?
The story of Taco Fall. It sounds like a Bob Dylan song.
I could not make out what the hell that text was.
They tell you a story about Taco Fall.
Did you know that Taco Fall was at Gatlinburg Pittman? He was eligible all sports but basketball.
What?
And by the TSSAA. And you know who's on the board of control of the TSSAA, don't you?
No.
Jody Wright.
From Fulton?
Fulton would have to play Gatlinburg Pitt, and he didn't want to get beat by Gatlinburg Pitt over 7-6 center.
So he what? He ruled the kid ineligible?
He could play any sport but basketball, and that's all he is a basketball player. 7'6".
Wait, Phil, are you coming on here and taking a cheap shot at one of the legends of East Tennessee high school basketball coaching, Jody Wright of the Fulton Falcons?
I don't think he's taking a cheap shot. He's just bringing.
I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Jody Wright is an upstanding man of this community who has helped countless young men develop in their teenage years. He is a winner through and through, and I won't stand idly by. This aggression will not stand, man.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You better move along. Finger on the flush button today, Phil.
My bad. I'm not tired of your flushes, W. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, frowny Phil, tired of getting flushed.
Will you let the man have his call?
Hey, I'm just
you
saying.
Pull this crap with me on VR. Phil, go ahead with your call.
You better move along.
Thank you, Byron.
Quit threatening.
I'm going to start calling the AM show because they don't cut me off on the AM show.
Yeah, Phil, move along.
Yeah, an excellent call this morning, Phil.
Thank you.
It wasn't as incendiary as Willie's, but.
Oh, Willie was going off, wasn't he? Ripping arms. Guys, I'll tell you what. Our bench is the reason why we're blowing these leads. Our starters have played too many minutes this year and starting the show.
We've talked about it all season long. It was always kind of out there, you know, that our starters in Bowden were playing, you know, averaging, 35 minutes a game?
Yeah, and you look at our recruiting now. We're recruiting three big guys, and they're also recruiting this wing player, and he can shoot 40% from the three. And that's another thing Tennessee needs is somebody that is a gunslinger from the three-point line. So I'd run a couple people off, and then we'll have a better roster next year.
Golly, could you imagine if Phil was running the team you were on?
I mean, you'd have a new roster every year.
No job security at all. Phil walks down the hallway and scowls at you.
Do you want Dan Lane on your old roster?
No, you really can't afford to in these days. You really can't.
Not with the way, you know, everybody in the SEC is recruiting, and, of course, they're bringing – I don't know who Alabama and Vanderbilt and Texas A&M are going to bring him, but I'm pretty sure it'll be an upgrade from what they got now.
I imagine A&M is going to go after Buzz. Is it Buzz Williams at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, somebody was telling me a rumor about Rick Pitino's in play at Alabama. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Wow. Wow.
I would be stunned if Sankey let him in this league. Although Alabama does run it, is there any fan base that would be
roll down tide.
More willing to overlook the fact that the guy set up prostitutes for underage kids.
It seems like other than Kentucky, where he's already been, no?
Yeah, and I guess Saban don't have a massage parlor down there, so I guess Rick Pitino put one of them down there, and everything would be working out fine then, wouldn't it?
There's just no – now, I have heard Pitino connected to the UNLV job, which that actually that kind of makes
sense.
Pitino and Sin City. Yeah, I could see that. But even that is questionable.
I just don't see how with a straight face the university can hire that guy to be around young men.
Guys, the Purdue-Tennessee game, I remember last year, Lamonte Turner had a great game. And I think Grant had a great game. And then Kyle Alexander, like you say, didn't he hit the three-pointer to put it in overtime?
He hit a big three. I can't remember if it was in regulation or overtime, but I just remember that was a huge must-have play in the game that was pretty improbable at the time.
I mean, if they can keep that Edwards guy from going, because, you know, hitting 7 out of 12 threes, and surely goodness we can beat these guys.
Yeah.
It won't be easy, but nothing ever is for Tennessee.
I almost wonder you throw some junk defense out there in a boxing one or something, but I doubt we'll see that from Rick Barnes. But, yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity for Lamonte Turner and or Jordan Bowden. I'd imagine they both get a chance on Edwards to really establish, you know, a place in Tennessee basketball history, because I believe you're right. If we hold that guy to 20 points or less – you have an excellent chance to make the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Let him score his average and hold everybody else down, and you win the game. I think that's the way you ought to approach this thing.
Hey, Phil, who would you put on him to start the game, Lamonte or Jordan?
I would rotate Lamonte and
Bowden.
I'd rotate all three. I've even put Pons on him a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, what do you do with, you know, Pons is good on the defensive end, but he's such a damn liability on the offensive end.
Well, I think Brandon made that point. You can't afford to put our subs, put them in there one at a time and rotate them out, not two at a time or three at a time, and that's when we have a major fall off on the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
We talked about it earlier in the show. I'm not sure if you were listening, but they just don't seem capable of playing at the same and getting passes from our guards that are playing right now. You know, Bowden, Bone, and Turner, you know, are elite.
Yeah, and you look at our guard play next year, if Isaiah James comes in as good as advertised and Bone stays and Devontae Gaines is any good, our guard play will be the strength of the team next year.
Should be.
Well, guys, I'm going to get off here for W. Flushing me. Seriously.
You made it, Phil. You made it.
God, intercede.
I mean, it was close there. It was looking dicey for a minute.
Well, you get on that deal where you...
Don't put this back on me.
No, I'm not putting it back on you.
No.
You're a bully. You're a damn bully. And somebody ought to just stand up to you in lunch line and slap you across that rich boy-looking face of yours.
Oh! If you come on this radio show and take a cheap shot at an East Tennessee high school football or basketball coach... It does nothing
but help young men.
You
never get upset about it when people take cheap shots at Steve Matthews over at Catholic.
I think that Crash Into Me was a great song, and Under the Table and Dreaming takes me back to the 1990s and teenage love. It's a great album, so I would definitely stand up for him. I don't know why you got to take it to the music world, but people do not come on this radio show. And Jody Wright's a friend of the drive, by the way. And I will not stand idly by while people take cheap shots.
He hasn't been on here in the 3 years I've been on here.
It doesn't have to come on the show to be a friend of the show. I know Jody Wright. And you, sir, are no Jody Wright.
Thank God.
Whoa! What are you doing? How many state titles has he robbed Catholic of? Where does this petty rivalry come from? He slapped you guys around so many times over the years. You've just decided that he's a cheater. That's the only way he could beat Catholic.
Dude's on the board of control.
He's on the board of control.
He always refused to.
He's the Wizard of Oz pulling the levers behind the screens to keep Catholic basketball down.
It's been too chicken to come over to Catholic and play.
I don't know about all that, but I think it's worth noting. Phil did not mention anything about losing to Vanderbilt.
Wow.
In his call today.
Way to go, wow. Phil. So you're always looking at the negative in Phil's calls.
Oh, yeah, because he's really a positive, up with people kind of guy.
Well, I'm telling you, three and out's trying to. I mean, three and out's going to poach him. He'll just start calling them. He won't call us anymore.
Poach him?
Yeah.
What are they going on recruiting visits over to South Knoxville to try and get Phil to call their show?
I mean, I'm sure Houston would like to go to the drunk tank with me. They like fishing out there.
865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your number to get on the drive. Justin on Twitter says, watching the Periscope this afternoon, why does Brandon continually have a smirk on his face?
Because he's a schnook. He just smirks all the time.
A smirk on my face?
Yeah, that smirk on your face over there. With that sitting there with your smug smirk on your face.
And your Purdue t-shirt.
It's a black t-shirt.
We'll be right back. Bear Russell and Boilermaker Brandon back with you on The Drive. Stay with us.
The Drive. Back to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Busy week here at Fan Run is coming up on Wednesday. We'll be at old Ben Franklin Motors with your piping hot Jets pizza.
When's that? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay.
Thursday, we'll be at studio, but we've got your official, unofficial Tennessee basketball watch party at Elkmont Exchange. Man, I kind of wish they'd just have us back down there. I know the game doesn't tip off till 7, but... I could stand to hang out at Elkmont for an afternoon and have a glass of old gold after the show. Be sure to get out there. We had a great crowd on both yesterday and Friday for the Tennessee games. And we'll be there as long as it takes, man. Come ride it out with us. Big John Reed will be hosting the watch party, which I guess puts me hosting Voluntary Reaction. At some point, well, hopefully not, maybe I'll be doing volunteer reaction after we cut down the nets at, on a Monday night at about 11:30. We'll kick off.
You feel like you need to keep doing the voluntary reaction as long as we keep winning?
I mean, I'm down for it. I'm down for it. I hate leaving. I hate watching the game, you know, either at the bar or at my house and then having to leave. I try to leave at like the 12-minute mark, although I was so in such a Roane County rage. I mean, I was Cedar Bluff seething at about when we tip off, 12:15, so about like 2 o'clock yesterday. I just got in my car. I was driving down. And I was listening to the radio and just so I don't know, man. Like, it was just...
You were in the zone. Do you realize I stopped by here yesterday to pick up some stuff?
Yeah.
I didn't even know if you were aware of it. You were so...
I said hi, Bear.
I mean, crazed.
It was... Like, we got it... They got it down to 9 at the 13-minute mark. And then we put Grant back in. We get 2 buckets and go back up 13. And you're like, okay. We weathered the storm. We're going to battle it out here. It might not always be pretty, but no. They just kept clawing at us, man, and it wasn't enjoyable. Was it enjoyable to watch that game yesterday?
First half,
the first half.
How would you describe the second half?
They're getting a vasectomy.
You had a vasectomy?
No. I said, I imagine that's what a vasectomy would feel like.
No, that's not what you said. You said it was like getting a vasectomy.
Oh, then I misspoke.
I've never had a root canal. I've heard that's unpleasant.
That's not bad.
I've heard the vasectomy, like, and this was the number one weekend to get the vasectomy, by the way. Shout out to all those of you who are recovering from your vasectomies. Did you know that? The number one weekend to get your vasectomy, dudes get it on, like, on that Thursday of the tournament so that they can take the day off from work. Although I know somebody who had one and said he went to work that night. Like, he had it in the morning and went by the office that day.
So I don't know. I mean, I've done some pretty painful stuff.
I've heard both things. Like, somebody I've heard, you know, some people say it's not that bad. You go home, you ice it down, like, watch TV, Netflix, whatever. It's all good. And I've heard from some people, like one guy I know who remained nameless, said, like, he had it, and he's awake, and he said the doctor is, like, talking to him during it.
Why?
And he said it was really painful. And he had to sit there. It's awkward anyway because you're sitting there with your pants off while another man, you know,
just handles you. Just treating you like your Lord Varys. Root and stem.
Okay, that was pretty good. And he said he's sitting there like talking to him about the weather and sports and stuff. And he's like, dude, I don't want to talk to you right now. Just do what you got to do and let me sit here and grind my teeth.
More lidocaine is what I would have said.
Yeah, can you, like, can they give you a Valium or something just kind of, like, chill you out? Like, I would.
Yeah, generally they do, I would imagine. Anytime I've been, like, awake and they're doing a procedure, it would normally, you know, just, like, excruciating levels of pain. You get that shot. What do they call it? Midazolam.
Midazolam?
Yeah.
Is that really what they call it? I feel like that's a drug you're making up.
No, look it up. It's called Midazolam.
Midazolam.
Yeah, it's like a form of Valium, but yeah, it sends you to the moon.
Give me some of that. I was supposed to have the little snip after the second kid. I chickened out. Couldn't do it.
I remember you telling me that.
Wife was like, "Are you going to make the phone call? When are you going to do this?" I was like, "I'll do it."
What phone call? Well, you think I'm scared?
It's been a couple months. You're going to go in and do it? It's like, I can't do it. Can't do it. I mean, you couldn't. Could you?
No.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
You know, lots of people could. I probably could. I just, I can't.
Talking like this.
Well, no, you're not. I mean, they're not. They don't actually. You're not getting castrated.
I don't be a eunuch. I got enough problems with my weight.
Do you know what a vasectomy is, Bear?
Yes, I know what a vasectomy is, you idiot. When they snip the cords. I'm not a dog. You don't spay or neuter me, whatever the hell it is. I can't remember the gender-specific term.
I think it's Neuter. Mm. Neuter is men.
Did you guys look up Medazlin yet? You guys are usually double checking for him.
Is it Medazlin or Budazlin?
Medazlin, you goober from Granger County.
How do you spell that?
Hell, I don't know.
Well, how are they supposed to look it up if nobody can spell it?
Just halfway spell it, Google will correct you.
So, there you go. If you're sitting on a bag of frozen peas listening to the show this afternoon, God bless you.
Now, I've had a procedure done where they gave me that shot and it didn't matter. Like, I was still...
Midazolam.
Sorry.
Midazolam.
Midazolam.
Is that like the stuff Michael Jackson was taking?
No, that was I can't ever pronounce it. Propanol. He was taking that stuff that they give you right before they put the mask over your face when you're having surgery. Have you ever had surgery?
It's been a while. What not as an adult. Done?
Appendix? Tonsils?
No, the last thing I remember was the wisdom teeth. That was wild. You had the wisdom teeth? Oh, yeah.
That's pretty
not
bad.
Fun.
I've had the last thing I always remember is count back from 100. That's the last thing you remember.
Who is saying, Kyle, is this the last Purdue game? Okay, against Purdue last season, Kyle had 13 points and 11 rebounds.
I'd take that.
Dang. Grant had 22. Lamonte went 4 of 8 from three-pointers with 17. Edwards scored 21 on us that game.
It's all right.
We were down 70-65 with 3 minutes left in overtime when Kyle stroked that three ball. Yeah, I mean, we were treading water at that point. That was a huge shot Kyle Alexander hit. Thanks to legendary CCD for the walk down memory lane on Twitter. Tennessee, the one-point favorite. Vols taking on Purdue. Thursday in the Sweet 16. We are back, baby. We are back. Was it enjoyable? Did you enjoy watching the game last night? Have you gotten over it? I feel like voluntary reaction, like we were all just, I mean, it's such a state of shock when you win a game like that in overtime, whether the road to get there was pleasant or not. But I feel like, do you think Tennessee fans, by and large, are putting whatever disappointment, I know that's stupid to have disappointment in a game you won, do you think that we're just putting that behind us and celebrating the fact that we're still playing? Or is it kind of like, oh, man, we're lucky to still be playing. Well, I don't think we're going to win Thursday.
But before I think it's about 85-15.
But before you so rudely cut me off and flushed me when I was calling in and you guys were throwing your pity party and your sky is falling routine,
oh my God.
I was going to point out that, you know, as of midnight last night, there were 52 other teams that would have killed to still be playing this week. I thought you guys were a little too negative. And after you treated me very rudely, I turned it off. Didn't care to listen to you guys anymore. You're power tripping. I'm going to flush Bear.
You
can
be
all right.
You need a blankie. You need a sucker.
No, I don't need anything.
Lollipop or something.
No.
Make you feel better.
No.
Get your feelings hurt there, Chief.
I'll start calling State Runs post-game show, breaking it down with them.
Do they even take calls?
I don't know. They probably let me on, I'm sure. I know that John and Jimmy would love to talk to me after a game,
mm-hmm.
get my insights, my cunning analysis.
Mm-hmm. What's your cunning analysis of yesterday's game?
We put too many scrubs into the game at one time, and then Admiral Grant and Kyle all had three fouls with, like, way too much time left.
Well, one thing that we've not talked about yet today, I don't know, I'm sure y'all talked about it on voluntary action.
I don't know if they did or not.
But the whole Admiral situation there at the end, why he was on the bench, I still don't really know how I feel about it.
I think that he got yanked after taking that three. He got sat for a second. And I really think that
got trailed off there.
Shut up, Russ. I think if we not come out and jumped on them real quick in overtime, we would have seen him enter the game rather quickly. But I think we just put it away so quick.
So you're buying into the Trey Wallace conspiracy theory that Admiral did not, as he said after the game and Barnes said and everybody else said, that he basically asked or told Rick Barnes to keep Kyle Alexander in the game in his stead, and that he was, in fact, yanked and punished for taking the early three?
I don't think he was yanked and punished, but no, you'll never get me in a million years to believe that Admiral Schofield, who's one of the most alpha basketball players we've ever had at the university, was like, oh, no, let's just leave Kyle in there. I'm going to be the bigger man. I have no ego.
So, but in that scenario, because that's what he said immediately after the game on the court to the CBS reporter, right? So in that scenario, Rick Barnes, or an assistant, huddled with Admiral and said, here's our story. This is what I want you to say to the press. And they also, you know, got that message to Jordan Bone, who relayed that story. Grant Williams,
I mean, hell,
that story.
I don't know, but I think it's crazy. It's insane. That was his last game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird too, but I'm taking him at his word. I don't think that he was yanked from the game.
You think there's any way Juwan Smith would have taken himself out of a game like that?
No, I think there are a lot of players who probably wouldn't do that. But there are some that would say that's why they love this team so much, is because it's a mark of unselfishness.
Yeah, okay. I do think had we not jumped on them and put it away in overtime quick, he would have been
into
the game.
What I don't understand is, because I don't know why they didn't do it toward the end of regulation, but – those first three possessions in overtime, whenever we, like you said, Bear, put it on them, what did we do? Straight to Grant Williams. Every single time. Grant Williams scored. The second time down, he got it into Grant, and he kicked it out to Bone or Bowden one, drained a three. Next possession down, come down, get it to Grant, he scores, and we're up. And that's – we don't look back. I it's just like sometimes during the game, we forget that we have Grant Williams on this team.
Isn't that, though, a microcosm of what went wrong yesterday? Is, okay, in overtime, we come out hot, and maybe at that point you want to put Admiral Schofield in. No, because you came out hot. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We came out hot in the game, in the first half, and then we switched strategies. Barnes said this, and the players said this, we changed it up to go from running and gunning on them to slow it down and working the clock, and it blew up in our face. What does that tell you?
That they made a mistake strategically.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep going. Like,
that goes back to the whole thing about Barnes and his rotations. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on. It's like everything's so scripted. It doesn't matter what's going on the court. It says on his sheet it's time to rotate, they're rotating.
I mean, Auburn had basically the same situation against Kansas, right? They scored 51 points in the first half of their game. They were up by over 20. Did Bruce Pearl take the air out of the ball
at
halftime?
No. Bruce Pearl bird walks when it gets like that.
I mean, I do think that there is something to be said for one of the problems on our team might be a lack of killer instinct. When we have somebody on the ground and our foot across their neck, you got to stomp on it. You got to go for the jugular.
Step down hard.
And this has been a recurring theme all year, right? It wasn't just yesterday. I mean, we have given up a lot of big leads over the course of the season. All right, coming up, we'll get your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smokin' Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Oh!
Was yesterday's game enjoyable? Over 100 votes cast already at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 61% of the audience says no.
Certainly not.
39% says yes. You think that number would be if we had lost? 99%. Rigor Ridge Barbecue, home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. You check them out online at RigorRidgeBBQ.com. Just a 20-minute drive up I-75 from downtown Knoxville. Take exit 134 in Carrollville, hang a right, and Rigor Ridge is tucked just inside Cove Lake State Park. You cannot miss it. Fall off the bone, Memphis-style baby back ribs. Slow-smoked chicken thighs, fresh hand-cut steaks. Rigor Ridge has it all. Rigor Ridge Barbecue. Check them out again, RigorRidgeBBQ.com. Let's go get John Tweet in here next. Tweet, you're on the drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Good day.
Yes.
I tell you, if we never, ever attempt to shorten the game or run clock again, it'll be the best thing that can ever happen to Tennessee basketball. I've never seen a team more uncomfortable, you know what I mean, holding the ball than we are. Like, it gets us totally out of sync, and it happens to us. Every time we try to do it, we look awful.
No, I mean, it's a good point. We just lost all our aggression. And the funny thing about it, John, is, like, when you do that and you lose it, you can't just flip a switch and get it back, man. Like,
hard to get it back, isn't it, Russ?
Sometimes it's just gone.
And it's not so much. I was just talking to somebody else, and we were talking about this. The guys, they don't generally take bad shots. You know what I mean? I mean, you might have one here and there, but the team we're not a team that comes in and just jacks up terrible shots. They're generally within the flow of the offense. So, you know, I think the mindset should be if it's 10, we need to get it to 15, 15 to 20. And then, you know, just running every time we try to do it, we just don't look good doing it. I don't know what it is. The guys aren't comfortable if they don't practice it. You know what I mean? But I think we should just stay away from it. I will say this. Purdue bothers me more than Oregon or UVA does. Like, I think if we get by Purdue, UVA doesn't scare me. They're just going to pack it in, and we shoot mid-range jumpers better than anybody in the country. So, and Oregon doesn't really scare me. The Pac-12 is kind of a joke. I mean, I guess Turner's going to try to check Edwards. How tall is Edwards? Anybody got that on him?
I think he's not very tall. I think 6'1", 6'2", something like that.
Okay, so you Bowden has a size advantage, and Turner's the same height. You know what I mean? Turner's this year.
I mean, it seems like we have the firepower to match that.
I would think so. You guys remember those 7'3 dudes? That dude from Purdue was he got bodied by Grant the entire game last year.
They had two of those guys last year.
Yeah, and both of them were sissies. They're little pansies. Grant bodied them.
Well,
I mean, they played soft. The softest 7-footers I've ever seen in my life. Kyle could knock them down.
So you feel good about – you said you feel better about Purdue or
– maybe it's the magnitude of the – like, I feel like if we can get in here and get by this team, it's gravy. You know what I mean? You're where you haven't been. It's gravy from then on. UVA's just I don't know why I feel that way. I just do.
But as long as we keep you live up that way, don't you?
What's that?
You live up in that area, don't you?
Yeah, Charlottesville's like 45 minutes west of me. Maybe an hour tops.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably real familiar with them, being that you live up there. I agree with you. Virginia doesn't scare me nearly as bad as I think Oregon's going to beat Virginia. I think Oregon's very – I don't think they got underseeded. I just think they came on so late in the year that –
That's fair.
Ended up on a they're what are they, a 12?
Something like that. 12, 8, 9, 10. UVA's got that boy in the middle, Salt, like a 7-footer who's actually 7 foot and got some size to him.
Yeah, he's
pretty
muscly.
They got another guy they bring off. Yeah, they got an NBA guard, what's his name? White boy can shoot. I can't think of his name.
Ty
right
Jerome.
Now. He can fill it up. Yeah, he's like 6'5", 6'6", and can shoot. I mean, they're just, we don't turn the ball over. UVA needs you to turn the ball over. We shoot well mid-range. UVA doesn't like that. You know what I mean? We're not going to make mistakes, and we run often.
The teams that have given us trouble this year, and specifically Auburn, are
Auburn
teams that create turnovers.
Yep, athletic, get out and run.
Because there's not many teams outside of Auburn that are more athletic than we are. Carolina.
Carolina's not. I mean, they got that point guard, and I think we'd be okay with him. And Luke May's not going to. Luke May and Grant are real similar to me, you know.
I mean, you got LSU, I think is just lurking out there.
Good. Yep. I think Auburn beats UNC. I agree with you, Russ. I really do. I think they beat UNC probably by about 10 for some reason.
That'd be a hell of an elite game, an Elite Eight game, if Houston's able to get past Kentucky. See Auburn and Houston for.
Is PJ Washington going to play?
Nobody's said anything yet. I have a hard time believing that kid went in a hard cast, like, you know, Friday or Thursday, whenever it was, and he's going to play this year.
Maybe they just did it as precautionary, just to make sure he didn't move. Period, to try to give him as much time to heal as they could. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, but man, you've been in a hard cast, even if it's just a week. Once your leg
atrophy.
Yeah, I mean, it sets in fast. I don't know. I mean, Kentucky's dangerous simply because they're so good. Their guards are so good defensively.
That Kelvin Johnson had like 25 the other night. I don't know, boys. I think we get by Purdue, but let's just, as long as that Edwards dude doesn't go off, I think we'll be all right. Boys, y'all be good. Have a good show.
Thank you, Tweet. Appreciate the phone call. Is there a more frustrating non-Tennessee moment in the tournament this past weekend than watching that dude from Wofford just clank three after three after three? What do you finish, 0 of 12?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, could have sent the slack-jawed yokels to
if he had made three of them, they probably win that game. And that dude's like a career 40% three-point shooter. I mean, he's one of the best of all time. And
like, you'd be walking on cloud nine if Kentucky got put out of the tournament first day.
Well, that's why I'm not buying this. It was just precautionary with PJ Washington theme, because they almost lost that game, and they would have if. And I give Kentucky credit because they obviously guarded him real well. But I mean, come on, like, that dude couldn't go 0 for 12 in a game against the Lakers. Like, he's going to make one or two, right? Maybe the Lakers not a great. Who's good in the NBA this year? You know what I'm talking about. It's that was frustrating. But if they get him back, man, if he can play, then I think they have a pretty good matchup against Houston. I mean, that's a guard-oriented team, so you would think that PJ Washington probably do some damage on the inside in that game. And you get into the Elite Eight against winner of North Carolina and Auburn. Oh, man. Bruce Pearl, who's dead to me now, playing against Kentucky. Ugh. It's like rooting for would you rather be punched in the nose or kicked right in the nards?
See, I think if Auburn beats UNC and Kentucky beats Houston, Kentucky's putting Auburn out.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't think they can run with them. I don't think anybody can run with those dudes right now. Like, your only hope against Auburn is if you got really athletic guards who can defend them, because, I mean, they are playing at warp speed right now.
Kentucky's got really athletic guards that play really good defense.
I think that Hero guy's a little overrated myself. Let's take a quick break. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, back with more after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Portions of our show today brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Earn 1.75% on a free checking account at Citizens National Bank. 21 branches throughout Sevier, Knox, and Jefferson counties. Visit cnbtn.com for a branch near you. Get the interest you deserve. Call today for details, 865-453-9031. That's 453-9031. Or again, cnbtn.com for Citizens National Bank, Banking never felt so good. Let's read some of the responses we're getting on social media this afternoon. Keith says, love Admiral, but that was a beta move to take himself out of the bleeping game. We need our captain on the floor at crunch time. Beta move by the Admiral?
I'm still torn on it. I mean, if...
It's so weird, man. Like
it really is.
To just volunteer. And the other thing that's weird is he's presented it as leave Kyle in for me. And I know that our end of the game lineup is usually Admiral Grant at the five, Admiral at the four, and then the three guards, right? Bowden, Bone, and Turner. But it, you know, he could have come in for Bowden, who was pretty good defensively, was not a great offensive game, I don't think, for Bowden yesterday, was it?
I felt like he's playing better than Admiral at the end of the game.
I mean, like, he could have played – like, he didn't – the point is he didn't have to go in for Kyle, right? I mean, there are any number of lineup combinations that could have gotten Admiral onto the floor for us.
I don't know. Maybe
he
did see that it was, you know, for whatever reason, that lineup was really working.
Troy B. on Twitter says, that's why we need Barnes and Pearl to have a love child. The hell? Oh, one is a great teacher, team builder, and true sportsman, but a horrible in-game coach. The other is a superb in-game coach, but a little sleazy in everything else.
A little?
I mean, is the criticism of Barnes being a horrible in-game coach, is that fair?
I wouldn't say horrible. I mean, the guy's won 600 games. I don't think you can say he's horrible.
What's our record now, 31-5?
Yeah. So we've tied most wins in program history.
Yep.
In a single season. I don't see how you can say he's horrible. Sometimes it does leave a little bit to be desired. But
What should he have done differently yesterday? Just continue to run on it, force the issue, stay aggressive at the half?
Yeah, probably, you know.
I mean, if you do that and it works, everything else is moot down the stretch because it's not a close game, right?
You know, my big deal with him is the whole timeout deal.
You wish he would take a timeout earlier to stop a run?
Yeah. Get up and get in the boys' asses a little bit.
Cal is one. He does not let it go on for very long. If the team's going on a run, will.
And
he'll call a timeout.
When did he call a timeout during the run yesterday?
I don't think so.
Or did he just let the TV timeouts occur?
I think he just let the TV.
I mean, Cal will call a timeout.
One, but it. I mean, a team will score like six against Kentucky, the six in a row, and he'll, boom, timeout.
Oh, I mean, he'll call timeout, and then with his whole team watching, he'll get a technical, and then he'll get every call for the rest of the game. And his kids will fight like crazy for him.
Yeah, there's a few things you can nitpick there, but at this point, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, he's your basketball coach, man. You take the bad with the good at this point.
Yeah, he did call one.
We'll take a quick break. Hour number three of The Drive. We'll get Rick Butler in here with your top five at five when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.